My name is Noel Runyon, and some of you may recognize me as the husband of Debbie Runyon. And Debbie will actually be at the back later when you're leaving. If you look for the lady with the beautiful long white hair, she'll be handing out literature if anybody wants to get any more information about the Talking Solutions products. She has Braille and audio cassettes and floppy disks and large print. So you can get more information, or if there's other information you want, she can take your name and can send you some more. I'm up here to talk about a couple of products that Talking Solutions is working with now and developing. They are not products, as far as the Aviva and the Iris, that are ready for you to run out and buy. So we're not taking orders. They're projects that are under development, and we anticipate that individuals will be able to start getting them after the next convention in the spring. These products are this company is started by Barry Scheuer, who's from the Boston area. And I first met Barry back in about 1980 when I was working for a company that made the VersaBraille and Opticons. You guys remember that company? Used to be in this business. Telesentry Systems. And I worked with Barry on the very first VersaBraille Classics that he had. In fact, I got a call one day when he was panicked about 1 o'clock, and he said, I need this document out of my VersaBraille, and I just poured coffee in it. And it went away. And Telesensory Systems couldn't do anything for him for a couple of days. They said, well, it's too close to the end of the day. We couldn't get the package out till tomorrow, and then it would take a day to get to you. And he said, but I've got a real big problem if this doesn't get out printed out by 5 o'clock. So he called me because I wasn't working with Telesensory anymore at that time, working with my own company. But I told him, well, it won't hurt. Put a hairdryer on it and a heating pad underneath it, and call me in the morning. And actually, he called back an hour and a half later and said, you've got free legal service, which having an attorney in your debt is actually pretty good, so it helped. But it did manage to allow him to get the data out and get it off, loaded onto an Apple computer, which was running Raise.computing. Anyway, that started Barry and me working together a lot on different projects. As Barry went through the different products that a lot of you here have, some of you I recognize have gone through this history of things like the Opticons, VersaBrailles, VersaBraille 2s, the Braille and Speaks, Braille Lights, Super Brailles, a couple of them. He's still using a Super Braille like Roger. Well, he's trying. Sure, Barry time. And the Braille Lights, the different Braille Lights and Millenniums and Elbas. Barry has sort of tried one of everything. But he's become a great expert, or two of everything, yes, usually. And he's been very involved in the beta testing of all these products and stuff. And over the years, as we've tried to help keep his technology working for him and work with him on this stuff, we've both grumbled about what was done wrong on products and how products really ought to be designed better, including part of the product, which is the service the company gives with the product and the documentation and the whole ball of wax that we were all complaining about. So recently, after more than 20 years in the medical business, running HMOs, managing and consulting and managing, Barry wanted to get out of that and into helping to develop access technologies. And so he brought Debbie and me in to help him with Talking Solutions, our own company, Personal Data Systems, that is doing primarily integrating computer systems for people. Still in business on the side, but we're spending more and more of our time primarily with Talking Solutions. And we think that it's good because Barry is really trying to keep these values as we move through this. And one of his great values is in getting access to information. Barry's family traditionally has been in the publishing business. And so Barry wanted to get involved in making internet information accessible. And not just internet radio or something, which is what some companies, like you may have heard some of you a couple of years ago, a company named Smart Media. They were trying to make just a purely internet radio, and they dropped the ball with that. What we wanted to do was use the internet as a tool to give us access to more information, but not be the only way to get that information. So we've developed a unit called the Aviva, A-V-I-V-A, Aviva, which is, somebody's got to help me with this acronym, Debbie. It's Accessible Voice Internet Voicing Appliance, something like that. During, is that, my time's up? Yes, okay, thank you for coming today. No. Yeah, well, the reason why he has that acronym is his beautiful wife is called Aviva. So once it was brought up by certain people that she the product ought to be called Aviva, what's a husband to do? Find an acronym. Yeah. A voice, audio-visual interface voicing appliance. Internet appliance, I'm sorry. Internet voicing appliance. Excuse me. What it really does is gives you access to information and several different kinds of information. Some of it, it uses the internet to get for you. Do we have a question at the back there?
No.
Okay. Now, what kind of thing are we talking about? Some of you in the back or whatever, those who can't see that I'm pounding on a box up here. Is it a computer? What? It's not really a computer. At least for those of you who are thinking of a computer as something with a display on it and a keyboard and you sit down and you have to deal with Microsoft Windows or something like that. What this is really what we call an internet appliance. It's a device. When we say appliance, that means more like something that's closer to a toaster or a microwave or something like that than it is to a computer. It's a box that's, for those of you who haven't been up or had a chance to see it, it's about, 20 inches wide, 18, 20 inches wide, and, 3-4 high. Looks like, yeah, thank you, Roger. It has stereo speakers on the front panel, has gobs of controls all over the panel, right, Roger? Yeah, no, not yet, right. There is a volume control knob that you can press in to turn the unit on or off. And below it is a button. If I press, I'll tell you the other things that are on there before I do that. There's
like the VW.
Yeah, very, very Spartan. It's designed to be simple. So it has a USB plug on the front, a microphone jack, and a earphone plug on the front. There are some other plugs on the back, like for video and audio to your hi-fi system and internet or telephone. The button on the front, though, if I press that is the, where is the heck is the pager button? So if I come over here and track down my pager, remote? I'm saying pager, yeah. And I have two of them up here. One's in my pocket. Thank you. Okay. Then that allows me to find the pager where some helpful person put it up on the mantle where I wouldn't look or something like that, right? You have helpful people like that around too. Or maybe down the cushions of the couch or something. So we wanted to make it so you had a control. You could sit back on the couch and or wherever. But you could find the remote by just pressing the button on the front panel of the Aviva unit. So the Aviva unit can be plugged into your hi-fi, or you use the stereo speakers that are built in, or the earphones. Now, there's also on the front panel, there is a CD drive and an eject button for the CD drive. And I lie about it because this is a little this is an earlier prototype. The newest prototype is currently in Europe being shown. It has a metal case and all is closer to our final prototype. It has an eject button. This one actually doesn't have the eject button on it, but I can eject it using the remote control. It has speech on it, so we can get access to it, and it's menu-driven. We didn't want this to be something where you have to sit down and start taking a course, learning how to program a computer or operate a computer or anything. We wanted it to be something closer to like a radio or a tape recorder or something like that. And so you can come around in front of it, if everything's up, which I haven't tested. And if the unit isn't on,
hello,
you press the knob on the front.
Connect to the Aviva network for internet content.
I'm going to have to move the microphone back and forth between the speaker and this.
But I just point the unit casually at the front, or if somebody's standing in front, I can bounce it off their belly button into the unit or something. But the remote control I have is not your cluttered-up remote control with...
It's not your cluttered-up remote control with buttons all over the place. It has a power on-off button at the top, and then there's a gap below that, and then there's a cursor cross of up, down, left, right, play keys, an escape, and a help. That's in a little patch of keys. Below that is a little number pad. It's separated off by a blank row. And below that, with a blank row, then there are three more keys across the bottom. Bottom rightmost of which is the pause key, right handy, easy to get. And the number keys, one of the primary uses for those is to have those be like a car radio, where you have the different preset buttons on a car radio. So if there's something you want to go back to, a particular station that you want to go back and listen to, or an internet audio stream, maybe main menu or something, you say, boy, I want that on number one, you can do that. If you have a radio reading service that's coming over the internet, you might make that button number two or something. So you can have your presets that you set up how you want. Anywhere in the menus, any of the items, you can make a preset to just take you right there and put you in that menu or put you on the item playing it. So what conceptually are we dealing with here? We're dealing with a box that you plug in the power and you plug it in to your internet connection, whether that's a telephone connection or a high-speed DSL connection or other high-speed LAN connection. And that goes out and gets information off the internet if that's what you want. Now, you don't even have to have it plugged into those things to be able to access other kinds of information. That might be information that's in the form of just a CD. You want to play music on a CD? Okay, you can. Big deal. You can play CD music other ways, but it's handy to have it here. This is also a DVD player. How many of you have DVD players that are accessible at home? Eh? Hello? Yeah, a couple of geeks, computer tech heads like Louie might be able to go in and with a DVD card, whatever, manage it on their computer. But for most of us, DVDs aren't accessible. What we currently can do is pull up a DVD movie, which I can do here for you, and you can move up and down through the different sections of a movie, whether they're just called Chapter 1, Chapter 2, Chapter 3, as they normally are, or whether they really have some better title to go with them. But at least lets me go in and pick off the movie or go start up the making of sections of a movie and get that much control to it at least. Now, so I can play CDs. Yes, thank you, Roger. You can plug in the back to a video output if you want to use a regular TV for your family members to watch it or for low vision folks. That's also useful when this device is being used in LD classrooms and they need visual output of the information, large print or otherwise. So in addition to playing CDs, you can play DVDs. You can also record CDs. Yes. So any stuff that you download that's legitimate can be written onto a CD.
Can you record it off of other things like a vinyl or anything?
Yes, you can. There are audio input jacks on the back, line inputs from your hi-fi. So you can take stuff off your hi-fi, play it into this unit, and record it. You can take microphone input as well. Some people have said, I want to sit down with my reader and read it in here and cut a CD directly. Yes, there is. Thank you. You're really good foam, you know, straight on this, Roger. Thank you. There is a hard drive on the system. It allows you to store information on that hard drive and subsequently dump it to a CD if you want. So what this means is, if we go down the menu here, though, I'll give a demonstration of
CD and DVD menu.
That's right, I have to get back up here. If I get too close to this mic, it looks like it's going to really hum at me. So
downloaded books menu.
Downloaded books, and then there's a little notice afterwards whether it's a menu or a stream or text. So I'm moving down the menu, and these are actually other submenus. Downloaded books would be books that we've downloaded onto the hard drive. Maybe we downloaded them from Bookshare or RFB or Gutenberg, other sources like that. Audible, we don't have support yet for that. We're looking at that. PDF files, things like that. Most of those we would probably convert before they're downloaded onto the system here. But yeah, thanks. So we have a number of different kinds of books that you can download onto the system, and including DAISY, and the system includes a DAISY reader that allows us to actually use the basic sort of DAISY kind of format for controls. The
Setup menu.
I'm sorry?
Is there an enablement process for RFB to use?
Yes.
One of the plans that's in place is to download books from RFB&D, where you'd actually, on this system, go into our menu, and there will be an RFB&D menu, and you can go through and pick a book, tell it to download it. And you download it onto the system, I should back up. On all this stuff, the system can keep track of who you are, so it can keep track of what the billing is, if there's any billing involved, or authorization, if in the case of RFB&D, you have to be an authorized client of theirs. So it can automatically authorize you to download the books from Bookshare, RFB&D, or whatever. Download it into your system, depending on your bandwidth, whether it's a couple hours overnight or whether it's right away quick with broadband. But that saves having to ship anything through the mail or wait around for a couple of days or weeks or whatever. So you can, and you can keep it, and you can dump it onto your CD. An example might be if you have a little Victor player or something like that, you could dump it to a CD and take the Victor player with you and pop the CD in the Victor player to read on the bus, that sort of thing. So it's a distribution method to take a lot of books like RFB&D, DAISY books and stuff like that, and get them out of the center where they are and get them into your hands, whether it's to play out of the unit directly or play through a CD or plugged into USB. Outload it, or whatever you want to call it, dump it out into a little solid-state recorder like your Otis or the Bookport or Book Courier, some of those kinds of devices. Okay, if I'm coming back down this menu, getting the mic all orchestrated here, so I stop that.
Connect to the Aviva network for internet content menu.
All right. If we
connecting to the Aviva network, please wait. Connected. Checking for updates. Internet radio.
By the way, one of the things it can do automatically is you can get upgrades without sticking a CD in. The system can automatically do that in the background for you after it's been thoroughly tested, because we can do our beta testing and all with specific units out there that we just address them and say that's a beta. And then when it's been tested out, we can update it without you having to do anything about it. And by the way the internet and all works up is you just plug your unit in. When you buy your unit, you plug it in, it connects the internet and sets you all up without you ever having to enter an ID or anything like that. So,
are you saying that Aviva has its own network and if you buy the system, it connects?
Streaming books.
That's how it gets started, yes.
The now I'm. Can you hear me even from here? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go into streaming books here.
Lord of the Rings menu. Yeah.
This is something that's streaming on the internet, and I'll try it. I don't think our net connection's there for this. Well, it can be connected through the front.
Pitch higher.
I didn't mention, we also have controls on here for changing pitch and stuff like that.
This is using the Elan speech,
which is a European speech synthesizer, which is the clearest. Elan? Elan? It's A-N, sorry.
E-L-A-N.
I'm going to go in the CD and DVD menu here, which doesn't require the internet.
I don't think.
I'm sorry?
What's the underlying OS?
Oh, if you have to know, it has to be something reliable. Because, so that, does that answer it for you? Yes, Linux. it's a Linux-based operating system.
How much does this thing gonna cost?
About 5,000, no, 500. Sorry. Yes, the unit, base unit itself is 500. And we do have a stripped-down version or slimmed-down version, depends on how you want to call it, that is called Iris. And Iris is just for the internet radio reading services. As more of the subcarrier audio frequencies are going away, and we're stuck with... As more of the radio reading services are going away, a lot of them are having... The subcarrier audio is going away. I'm sorry, the reading services aren't. They're having to switch to the internet. But that's not easy, especially for a lot of older folks. Right. This will be a receiver that's as simple to use as a subcarrier audio. The slimmed down Iris, as we call it, Internet Radio Information Service, will not have the CD drive in it, but more of just a receiver.
And
that's right. So you can use it the way you use a subcarrier audio receiver to pick up your specific radio reading information service. Okay. Yes. Yes, 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 you were there. Okay, good. Now,
connect to the Aviva network for CD and DVD menu.
Okay, now if I...
open CD tray.
I can actually, from the remote, tell it to open the CD tray, or the newer units actually have the eject button on it. You can eject the CD drawer and stick a CD in and go right for it.
Loading CD.
So here I've started it. And I'll turn the volume up a little bit if you need it. Now, how are we doing? Okay, there's a pause.
Paused.
There, I just paused it. Remember I said the bottom right key is the remote control? That pauses it. And we've tried to be consistent as whether, you know, it should be the same if you're reading text. Hit the same pause button. Same volume, rate, and pitch, and controls, up, down, and all. One of the things a lot of people enjoyed at the conference this summer was 2 weeks after Harry Potter came out, we had it downloaded on the system here so people could walk up and listen to Harry Potter. That's the kind of real-time response we should be getting, because RFB&D had Harry Potter up, you know, the day after, I think, it hit the book stands. They had people standing in line. Yeah, the next day. Well, you as users could download it that night or that afternoon. So we'll really start to be able to get fast response as these things get thrown up on there. I'm sorry? Yeah. Right. There are a number of different kinds of information here. One is audio streams that are things that are real-time running on the internet that they're feeding out, whether it's the real-time streams that you guys are used to from the conferences, like the main menu doing the conferences at ACB this summer. Yes, sir. You can burn files on there, be they MP3 audios or they will play on a regular audio player. They also play DAISY players, and there will also be digital data if you wanted to put it on and transfer it to your computer or something like that. So,
they have a cable modem hookup or what kind of high speed?
It depends on the kind of modem you have. What we have on the back of the unit is called an Ethernet connection, an RJ45, that allows you to connect to the kinds of modems that can give you broadband connection.
You need broadband.
No, you can also use the RJ11 regular telephone plug. If you're dialing up with a telephone, you don't get downloaded big things downloaded as fast. Yeah. We do some buffering to try to improve and remove the hiccups and things that some of you are used to on dial-up modems. Yes. In fact, when I first took it up, it was just over telephone. I just plugged the unit in and turned it on. And when I asked it to access the Aviva network, it went out and dialed up. It dials up its own thing and gets the information. Okay, where am I? Where's the closest dial up and stuff like that? And you know, I'm box number blah 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 that Noel Runyon, you know, goes to Noel Runyon, etc. So it works all that out. You think about it, things should be designed that way. The kinds of things you put in are nitty-gritty little details when you go in to get lined up with AOL or something like Earthlink or whatever. Why should you have to do that? You know, if you could do that, the computer can do it for you. And especially given that when you get a box, we know who you are. We know where you live. So why do we have to make you put all that back in again? We shouldn't. And an intelligent system shouldn't make you do that. In version 2, we have plans for other receiver capabilities. And these, again, as I said, none of this is product that you can buy today. They're all things that we're planning. And we want to get people's inputs on things just like that. And we appreciate the inputs because to help steer, especially in the upcoming designs. But it has been recommended by our beta focus groups that we put in an XM receiver capability, also a radio and TV tuner for regular AM, FM, radio, and TV. The reason is, one of the things we'd like to do on that is, those of you who have heard of TiVo, that allows you to record, but how accessible are TiVo units? Well, you should have an accessible TiVo-type functions, also what I call Revo, which is the same thing for radio that you have on TV. So some functions like that, you know, you should have access to. Now, these are not all promised in version 1. Those are intentions, okay? And we intend to make Barry follow through on these things. Right, Debbie? And he wants to more than any of us do. So those are things that once we've got the base tool, though, we should be able to do things like that. XM receivers are another element of that. I'm sorry? XM, you see these people are running around with fancy, quote, digital boom boxes, and it's a satellite-based digital radio programming subscription system for delivering cars and portable boom boxes. Yeah, it's a satellite subscriber radio is the simplest way to say it. So these are just different sources of information. And instead of every box you buy having a visual display on it and a lousy interface you may or may not be able to use, we'd like to use this common interface appliance to get at this kind of information. And we have other capabilities on this. I mentioned that we have a USB connector on the front and two of them on the back, actually. So you could hook up other kinds of controls. Maybe you have a wireless headset or a wireless keyboard. You want to go off on the veranda where you can't use a little remote or something. Maybe you want wireless. There are a number of different options like that, given that you've got a friendly base unit that wants to allow you to go through with talking menus, has speech, so you can use it remotely. And whether it's an information resource like scanning or bringing it off the internet, bringing it off of CDs or off your radio, DVDs or anything like that, we want to try to make a friendly user interface to those things.
Can you say it's only going to be $500?
$500 is purchase price for the Aviva unit. That's our projected price. We think we can do that. $500 for it, and about $250 or less for the slimmed-down Iris version of it. Now, there are subscription fees, too. Depends on whether you have your own internet provider. Because the subscription for the guys like the people like there, we have a content manager person that has to be paid for it. They're the person that says, whoops, station blah, blah, blah went away. Or, you know, Planet Rock London just went off the air. Is it for good, or you know, do we take them off the menu? Those people have to be paid for. So there is a subscription service, about $9.95 a month for this basic subscription service. If you have an internet service provider, about $10 for the minimum, $20 if you don't have an internet service provider, and about $30 if you want primo things that you have to start paying for. Like if you're on the internet now and wanted to get some of the football games, you know, some of those services that you have to pay for anyway, normally. And this is the way the future is going on internet information, is that there will be a lot of primo services that somebody puts together and does work to put together, and you pay for that.
Can you access your email?
In this first unit, we don't have email access. We do plan to in version 2, support email and some web shopping, web browsing, some other things like that. And some of those through voice input for some people for simplicity, a lot of it through just simple menus. For those of you who are just absolutely, absolutely tied to keyboards, in fact, your fingers are glued on the home row, you know, then you could, you should be able to use keyboard inputs in the future. But what we've done here with this device is try to show how much you could simplify things down and not have to have a computer tech head interface.
Are you going to work with QVC in a joint venture to have descriptive purchasing?
Well, you're talking home shopping network.
Yeah, home shopping like QVC, that, yeah. and have them have descriptive
as felt on home shopping networks. Yes, or as heard. Well, there are. I don't know if we'll get that radical. You know, if the future goes that way, yeah, we'll have to. But certainly shopping, where you're just going down through a simple catalog, without all sorts of graphics thrown into it, messing you all up, to be able to order things. One of the first ordering systems that we'll have on here is for RFBND, Bookshare, things like that, where you can you're just doing downloading of regular books that you aren't even talking about paying for. But there are, for those of you who want to get access to other subscription services, be it maybe the Wall Street Journal or the ticker tape on Wall Street or something, those kinds of things, if they're normal subscription services, we should be able to do that for you, where you have one common service, you get one common bill, and guess what? We probably even make your bill accessible on the system. You know, for you to be able to look up stuff. You know, what a concept. I mean, it should be that. Yes. Bob is asking whether version 1 will allow us to go out and browse the internet. We do not plan on version 1 to be browsing the internet and willy-nilly. What we will do is have the specific streams or sites on there that you can pull down the information from those. You can prompt us to add those for you if there's some other URLs or whatever. Our content managing software and people will respond to those and put things on. Yeah, travel reservations are a very good piece of information that's public domain kinds of information generally. Same things with a lot of other kinds. We started listing these off, and we just came up with a horrendous long list of a lot of the information that's out there. An example of streaming audio streams. People know what this is like. I mean, like we mentioned, the main menu. But there are other things where people have a microphone out in back of their house on the beach, and they just leave that going on the internet all the time. Or somebody up in the mountains with a little mountain stream has got a microphone down by the stream, and you can listen to real-time sounds like that. I think businesses ought to get on the stick, and like nightclubs. You ought to be able to hear the ambience of your favorite nightclub or watering hole and say, boy, it's really jumping down there tonight. Or, oh, they've got that old group there. I'm not going down there tonight. Or, it sounds like a good fight. I'm going down. You know? The mud wrestling tonight. Yeah. And so there are a lot of ambiance kinds of things that we can pick up as audio streams and be able to play. And again, you could set up the remote control to where these don't require using a keyboard and browsing around. Instead, you've got it punched in as number 5 is mud wrestling, you know, or whatever your favorite stuff is. Yes, sir.
What if I have a little bit of computer knowledge and I come across a website that I would like to have myself and don't want to send it out to the program?
Okay. Okay, two things implicit in that. One is, for reprogramming, you do not need to send the unit back. Remember I mentioned that it can automatically update itself over the system. So you may have user profiles for how your system's set up, okay? Those stay with your system. But we will initially allow you to contact our content manager and just say, will you put this URL on there? You can contact them by email if you've got an email type system, or by phone, or regular snail mail. Eventually we should get an automatic submission thing where if you're on a site, you ought to be able to go pick something and say, hey, send this site to the content manager for Aviva and put it up there. So that's part of the way in which the blind infrastructure can help to support that, or blindness community, that we can go out there and find these new URLs that are, you know, addresses that we think are really wonderful, and some, you know, little nugget we found buried on some website somewhere.
How about, like, the legislature stuff?
All you want, probably. More than you want, probably. You want interviews with Monica Lewinsky or any of those things?
Bills.
The bills, yes. Okay, interview with Bill. What's his name?
No.
Yes. That stuff that's on sites should be all available. Yes. And some of it will be sites where some people massage it and offer services of so-and-so's massaged bill information or so-and-so's massaged news of the day. And those will be services that some blind folks will do. In fact, some of you may have seen Bill Sparks, his website. Bill Sparks has a nice website where he runs a service of pointing you off to all sorts of other internet radio services.
How does that work for legislation if it's not, it's text-based?
Yeah, if it's text-based. Oh, I should apologize. In this system, the basic menus you hear talking are talking with a text-to-speech system, the same one that reads the books. So if it's not pre-recorded audio, but it is text that you've downloaded, the Elan text-to-speech here will convert it into good-sounding speech from text.
So then that's presuming that the file that it's going to download is usable to speech.
Yes. There are some files that will be massaged at on our server into a more usable form, like possibly PDF files or other files. Some things might run through an OCR system to convert them. Others may run through a Braille conversion system. If you've hooked a Braille embosser up to your unit and you want to be able to download files, convert them to Braille, and run them out, if they're not already in Braille format. Version 1, no, but we plan to make it available.